This is Chopping Up the Brick with Tony Hustle. So first off, I just got to give a shout out Antfo.
Not Nick.
Antfo. He helped with the editing and the putting on the beats and the mixing and mastering of the last episode. Made it sound a lot more professional than the tablet was handling. Doing the same thing with this episode at Stewie Ignant's place, aka the Double R.
Oh, yeah.
That's him right now.
Yeah, Double R up in this motherfucker, yo.
We're about to get to it.
Tony Huss.
Just a couple things I gotta touch on from the last one and from this one. The post that we made that says this is a contest, something about 100 likes wins a free beat. Antfo contacted me and said that he's going to give up a custom beat to one of 100 people who like that. So if it gets shared and liked and passed around, and once it hits 100, we'll just take that list of 100 and raffle off a name, and he's gonna make a custom beat for you.
Shit, my nigga come like that on? That's lit.
I don't know what you're going to do with that. You could make your own theme song, or it's your beat. It's your beat to do whatever you want with. Thank you, Foreman, for that and for the work on the last episode. This episode, I have another guest who I've known since high school. We go back to, what, you were like 13, 14?
I would say 14.
Why don't you say what's up?
Yeah, y'all. Double R, Stewie Ignant. Man, Big Stew. That's what they call me out in that big Midwest, bruh.
So we already had an interview, but we had to push that back. Well, I just scrapped that interview because some shit came up and you were in the middle of it and you didn't really want to talk about it, but I was kind of getting dragged into it without even wanting to be a part of it. Why don't we just address that?
Yeah, there was just too much shit popping off at the moment, man. I mean, Twitter fingering, man, I guess you could call it.
Whole lot of that.
Yeah, Tony, man, Tony Huss woke me up 6:30 in the morning. He's like, yo, I'm in this like heated conversation over your name right now, and I'm just like, what?
I got woke up at like 5:30.
Yeah, a bunch of drama, man. It's basically, you know, I got to change my name because I stole that shit, and I was just like, nah, not a chance.
So were you in the Twitter finger battle?
Or? Nah, man, I didn't touch the keyboard once, man. I mean, I touched the fucking piano. That's about the only keyboard I was on chirping off on, man.
Someone told you had to give up your name and you just sat down and making a track.
I just hit the lab, man, and I made the shit and I didn't even really want to release it, man, because I was like, damn, you know? It's hurting feelings right here, man. I ain't out to do that to people, man, but I mean, when you ask for it, and basically, I was at your house and somebody blasted out there that, hey, if Double R ain't on them keyboards, he's probably in the lab cooking. So I was like, well, shit, I'm going to have to dip right now and I'm going to have to master this shit and put it out. Because if I don't put it out, he's going to put something out. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Stuck with your priorities there.
Yeah.
So we put all four videos on the Chopping Up the Brick page. And your first track, the Little Ricky,
yeah,
had 18 views and 4 likes.
Little numbers.
His next two videos, yeah, we just started, right? So give it some time. Those will pick up. But his next two videos were the ones that went next. He responded with 8 Up, and then second one was FCP Minute Murder, I think.
Yeah.
Both those videos got 7 and 8 views, and none of them got a like. And then your second video was...
6 Up!
6 Up, which, yeah, got accused of being biting. And it got 33 views and 2 likes.
Which I don't understand how you can call that biting.
Yeah, I know.
That's a beautiful flip from 8 Up, which means nothing, to 6 Up, which means something. Yeah. That's a beautiful flip.
8 Up can mean something, like you got 8 Up.
You got 8 Up, but it's like, who really says
flipping
8
that
up?
Around is, yeah, a part of the whole hip-hop, yeah, thing, yeah, so yeah, I can't, yeah, call that biting.
No.
It'd be biting if you went and came out with 8 Up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the numbers are low, but there's definitely more in your favor on that. It seems to be that people are more interested in seeing what you had to say there than what he had to say about it.
That's what's up, man.
So are you guys cool now?
I would say so. I mean, I'm still yet to meet this man. but I don't know. I mean, he hit me up, and it seems like it's all good. It don't seem like there's going to be no more tracks released at this point.
He's actually a cool dude, but there was that incident. So now we got that out of the way, why don't we just move into the actual brick itself, because I don't want to have to spend a lot of time on that one.
Yeah, me either, bro. I haven't spent enough time.
Okay, so how old are you right now?
27.
27.
Barely made it, homie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. That's a long time. They told us it wasn't gonna happen, eh?
Yeah, man. I mean, it didn't happen a few times.
Pines class, dead or in jail by 21.
Yeah. You made it past 21 with no problem.
You made it past that expiry date.
Yeah.
So, how long have you actually been rapping for?
I'm gonna say like about 13 years. I really was heavy into it when I was 14, but I started heavy with the poetry when I was about, 12 years old. I first was influenced to rap by a homie in Kansas City, and we was walking down the street. He asked what I was gonna be, what I was trying to do with my life, and I said I was gonna be a rapper. He said, spit something. And I ain't never been put on the spot before. And I'm just like, I don't spit. And he says, how you gonna be a rapper if you don't spit? And so I started writing. And it was raps, but I mean, in the beginning, I was definitely stronger with my poetry. I mean, the poetry was like instant panty poetry, man. I mean, it was just, some shit to get their minds going and them juices flowing. Yeah, and then from the poetry, I got more serious with the rap probably about 14 when I came back to Kansas City. And, man, was just keeping it so lit out there and just eating folks alive on the set.
So was there a bit of a culture shock between being a teenager or a preteen in Canada, then going to Kansas City, then coming back to Canada after a couple of years over there?
Yeah, man. I mean, shit's day and night, bruh. Literally, though, I mean, I went from, elementary school here to junior high there. And I mean, I went from being called a nigger every day in school to being called white boy every day in school. And I mean, it's just a completely different world, completely different outlook on life. And I mean, they see colors a lot more down there than they do around here.
So being mixed, you got it from both ends.
Yeah, and I mean, so because of that, I've experienced twice the amount of racism as the average person. But I mean, me myself, I find that it's a blessing at the same time, because white people say to me what they would never say to a black person, and black people say to me what they would never say to a white person. So I really see what is in the heart of man, and I really see what gets people going and how people think on a much higher level than the average person gets to experience.
It's a bit of a trip.
It is a trip, man. Life is a trip.
It is. It's a precious thing we've been blessed with.
At times, yes.
Okay, so why don't you share with the listeners here some of your earlier influences, like what you were into when you were growing up, as far as music wise, goes.
Man, first rap I was ever exposed to was Coolio, man. Gangsta's Paradise was my shit for real. Fantastic Voyage before that, most definitely. And a lot of folks was mad at Coolio at the time. They didn't think Coolio was keeping it the most lit. It was all about Tupac at the time, which I didn't get into Tupac till a couple months after I was into the Coolios. And so obviously, man, Pac was the shit.
Is that you and your pops and Coolio right there on the wall?
Yeah, that is that right there. That's that day.
I have a picture for the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, man, that was summer of 96 in Vancouver. Mob backstage met Coolio, man, and just like, that was in like, I've heard stories now from like rappers, like, on YouTube and shit, talking about how shit was popping with like the groupies back then. And yeah, the groupies was for real, man. I mean, there was a room that I went in backstage that was just, it was probably about 500 to 700 square feet, and it just had a bench all around the outside, and it was nothing but top notch bitches, and I just couldn't believe it. And they was all over me. I was 7 years old. I was just fucking loving it, man. But I obviously wasn't getting no fucking play that night. But man, still a dope fucking time. So yeah, and then from there, man, from Pac to like into the Bay Area, man, the Mac Dre's, man, and the Jacka these days is a heavy influence. But it's always been a Bay thing as far as I think my style of beats would go. I mean, I'm venturing off into my own shit, trying to keep my own flavor that I'm trying to put out there, but it's a heavy Bay influence.
That doesn't surprise me at all. You put me on a Hustla and Jacka and Mac Dre and Andre Nicotina, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, shit. I put you on Andre Nicotina?
Yep.
Damn. You're
14 years old.
Ayo for yayo like a motherfucker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was bigger than the West Coast. Didn't even know about that Bay Area until.
That's true. Man, this guy did not know a single fucking thing about the Bay Area when I met this dude. Damn.
I didn't get it at first.
Yeah.
Jumping out of their car and dancing on the side of the road. I just didn't understand the whole culture. It took me a minute, but.
Man, the hyphy movement was like the best 4 years of my life. Shit.
You said you put a lot of that in your music?
I would most definitely say, man, that it's a heavy Bay influence. It's a West Coast influence overall, and, you know, I mean, I take that influence, and what I'm trying to make is a Northwest, man, because I don't think there's a Northwest sound, and I'm trying to come with a Northwest sound.
So I asked Foreman the same question, and for me, just to set it off, is that night where we were getting faded down by that building where Pine used to be. Was that Fairy Tech building?
Yep.
And I got it in my head that I could get up on that roof and unlock that door from behind. I don't know how, but I just got it in my head and was like, give me a boost. And got you to give me a boost up there. And then the next thing you know, I'm popping that door open and we were all on the roof.
Yeah.
And we partied up there all night till like the cops showed up. There was like flashlights, they were yelling shit, and we all just jumped off different corners of the roof and we were just booking it, right? Like kids, different directions.
Yeah.
That for me is probably my favorite moment of the wood. What was your favorite moment growing up in Fernwood?
To be honest, I forgot about that roof, man. I mean, that building is long gone. I done had so many nights upon that roof. But favorite night. I mean, I did just about everything up in that motherfucker. But my favorite shit, man, was probably the Rapping Cowboy. Oh my goodness. You might not know about the Rapping Cowboy.
I don't think I do.
Oh man, so we just doing our thing, man, keeping it so lit. We like 40 deep and shit. And this dude with a guitar rolls up.
Which we usually were though.
It was
40, yeah, 50 deep was no problem.
Yeah. No, that was the average thing, man. But so this dude rolls up with a guitar, you know, just chill as fuck, right? And he's got this other dude with him. And then he starts playing his guitar and his homeboy starts rapping and shit. And he's like, got the cowboy hat on with the boots. And we're just like, I can't personally take this guy serious. And I got a big blunt in my mouth. Man, there's a video of this shit. And I just got this big blunt. And I'm just like, hey! Just yell across the court. I'd like to challenge the Rapping Cowboy to a rap off. And he strolls over while his homeboy's strumming, popping his little bars off and shit. And I just came through with them fucking Kill City Crushers, man, and just put it on him. And everybody was lit. It almost ended in violence, but his homie stood up to him and was like, "Yo, I'm about to fuck you up. Get the fuck out of here." And he fucking bounced, man. It was not the scene for the Rapping Cowboy.
He did not have his ghetto pass that night.
Nah, not at all, man. I mean, he was allowed in for a second, but he had to go real quick.
I remember seeing a lot of people get run off.
And yeah, it was just average shit, man. Yep. Youngsters don't play, man. Youngsters don't really give a fuck about that.
Yeah, when the sun goes down, if you don't have your ghetto pass on you, you just get the fuck out of that neighborhood when shit starts getting fucky. I think that's something we need to teach to future generations.
Don't catch yourself inside during that window, man. You go somewhere, it's all good, man. You chilling at your homie's house, and then it's time to go home, and it's like, oh, shit. This ain't the neighborhood I walked into 5 hours ago. Shit.
That's important, though. If the neighborhood starts getting rough and sun goes down, part of the whole natural selection, you know?
Yeah, speaking of selection, my drink is on E, bruh. I mean, out of all these bottles here, man, what you need to fuck with right now?
Nothing dark. I like the clear. I mean, honestly.
Nothing dark, huh?
You have like a small bar here. And we're doing daytime drinking while recording. I think I'm going to stay coherent. So go with anything from the light shelf.
All right.
You go ahead and make that as racial as you want.
Nah, it's a lick of thang, though. Shit. Let's do this Seagram's, man, because you was the one who put me on this Seagram's.
I actually went live on, before you get to that, on BK Irons, called him on his live post.
Yeah, I'm not familiar, but yeah, what's up?
He's a comedian from Lima, Ohio. Yeah. Guy's hilarious. Nothing to do with hip-hop, so we shouldn't stick on this for too long, but since we're sidetracked pouring drinks and shit.
Yeah.
He's a comedian, and I called in, and he asked me, like, just out of nowhere, I didn't expect it, but what's the difference between Canada and America? And all I could think of was, like, not just from you, but from everyone I talked to, is racism. And it's not that we don't have racism. You always, everywhere you go, you'll find there's an ignorant person who just says some dumb shit. And, like, me personally, I kind of... I'm not afraid to use any word. I just believe certain words shouldn't be in my vocabulary because of what they, the connotations that go behind them.
Yeah.
I think that whole, it's just not something I think I should have in my vocabulary or I should perpetuate or be a part of. You know, to me, it's just ignorant, dumb shit. So I don't use those words. And personally, I think that whole, I'd say that ignorance is something that we as Canadians in 2016 will actually stand up for. Whereas if someone were to say something ignorant and dumb, there'll be someone around him who will actually say, okay, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, they used to do ignorant and dumb shit, lighting crosses on front lawns. And normally was there not someone to say, hey, that's fucked up. There was people joining in and shit. Like,
hey, I want a part of this shit.
Like, what the fuck? So yeah, so I told him racism. I couldn't think of what else. The biggest difference between here and there.
I would have to say, yeah, man, it's that racism, man. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I have to say racism, man. I mean, alcohol, to me, seems like a big problem in the States, man. I mean, the shit is...
The price of it.
Yeah, the price of it and just everybody, man. I mean, you go down there from Canada, man, we drink up about this motherfucker. But, yo, if you want to drink a bottle of Hennessy...
Ciroc?
Yeah, fuck it, that's Ciroc, bro. But, man, if you're trying to... Yeah, that Ciroc is the perfect fucking example, man. I mean, I haven't ever bought a bottle of Ciroc in the States, but I assume it's on the same level of Henny where you're paying $60 here, but you're paying $20 down there, man. I mean, there just ain't no comparison in that. Even if you're making a lot less minimum wage down there, I mean, shit. Hennessy Ciroc, man, that's real, 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 real high-end shit around here.
I could have said price, but I also know that our taxes are higher than this province alone, let alone the whole country is higher than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that the prices for shit is higher, but really though, like the biggest difference, if it wasn't just for what I said on when I called in, it would probably also be that and the gun law. Like we have, I don't know if it's as many, but we
how
have-
How could I forget guns?
We have a lot of guns around here. They're just not like one third of them displayed on someone's hip out all the time.
You're not so actively involved in murder every day.
We have a fair share of shootings and
fair share.
Stabbings.
And man, but you got an abundance down south.
While we're fucking around waiting for this fucking vaporizer. I mean, seriously though, like, you did get poked after a concert, no?
Yeah, man. I definitely got stabbed.
I got the phone call at 8:30, 9 a.m. from my ex saying that she was with a friend who was with you,
mm-hmm.
and that you were in the hospital, you've been stabbed, and it like might be critical. So somehow between that 8, 9 a.m. window when I got the phone call and noon when the girl who was with you called me back, not the ex, the girl who was with you called me back and told me what actually happened, I got to, I was passing Spectrum on foot, just... I was moving to the hospital, and I couldn't tell you, like, what went through my head. I knew I had to go to VGH and find you, right? And she calls back and says she was with you, you got stabbed, you're in the hospital, she got taken by the police, they're asking questions and shit, she doesn't know shit, so they're basically just...
We don't know shit in the wood! Yeah, what's up?
Remember that. So... She didn't know shit, so they're just asking her questions, and she's the same answer, right? You know how it is. They ask you some dumb shit, you don't know shit, so you're like, I don't know shit, and they just keep doing it. So I guess they let her out, and she finally calls me and tells me that, like, I might want to be, you know,
present,
sitting down for this news. And I'm like, no. my ex called me, I'm already halfway to the hospital. Yeah. Tell me what's up. I need to know. And she tells me, yeah, you're in critical condition. ICU. I can find you in the ICU room. And I did that whole mouse in the maze thing, getting to the ICU room. There's like that little room where the family's sitting. And your mom looks at me. It was weird. Your mom looks at me and she's like, who is that? And I thought it was weird because, yeah.
She knows who that motherfucker is, man.
Fucking heat's on me, and I'm sleeping on your couch in the basement, hiding out.
Yeah, man, like, this motherfucker been
we
there.
We family.
Man, done that, man.
So as far as I know, I'm like, you're like my second mom, right? So yeah, so I talked to her for a minute.
To be fair, man, you done put on mad weight. I mean, we all put on weight as we grow older, right?
This is true. I don't look the same as I did then, but...
Yeah.
Still, to me, it was like, this is family. So I caught up with her real quick, and she was like, as soon as we can, we'll get you in there. And they took me into the room where you were, like, laid up in the... on the
laid the fuck up, man.
On the bed, right?
Yeah.
And I could see the... the machine. For some reason, I was looking at the drugs they were putting in you, and it was like fentanyl and
propofol, Dilaudid, and there was one other. I'm not sure.
There you go.
Yeah. It's probably morphine.
So you're seeing that list, and you're like, "This is some serious shit." Like, homie, God,
the real deal cocktail.
Yeah, he got cut, and they were like tugging on you and stuff, and I saw like the cords coming, and I was just like, I went white, apparently, from what I was told, and I wasn't there anymore.